Hello, and welcome to the Beautiful Feeling podcast. Sydney Banks, the founder of the Three Principles Understanding, realized that when we live in a beautiful feeling, it teaches us everything we need to know, and that we never need to leave this. This is a profound spiritual truth. When we start to unlock this for ourselves, its transformational impact and reach are astonishing. I am your host, Rachel Singleton, and together with my guests, I will be exploring the grace and significance of this teaching over the course of 12 conversations. I recommend that you find a quiet place to listen. Allow the peaceful energy of these conversations to seep into your soul and find their beautiful way. And let this feeling teach you everything you need to know. Welcome to today's episode. I am really pleased to bring someone very special to the show today, and that is Shane Kennedy. Shane is someone who very much works behind the scenes in the Three Principles community, but was very, very close to Sydney Banks throughout his life. It took me some time to track him down, but he very kindly agreed to come onto the podcast because speaking about a beautiful feeling is one of the things that he loves to do. So there is a little bit of a health warning for this one. The sound quality is not good. On Shane's end, he had to wear a headset to cut out some of the noise in the office around him, and that meant that his voice at times sounds quite muffled. So I struggled a bit in the conversation to always hear what was being said. And you may have that too. But what I would say is that you will get the gist of it just as I did, and a very big portion of the gist of it. And that what really comes through is the quality of feeling. I came out of this conversation feeling nothing short of enchanted. I felt like I'd been in a magical world for an hour and a half, and it stayed with me and really impacted me. My other hat when I'm not being a coach is to be an artist, and I actually feel like my art has changed as a result of this conversation. Let me just give you a brief introduction then to Shane so that you know a little bit about him before we go into the conversation. So Shane moved to Salt Spring Island at an early age to learn from Sydney Banks and later became the publisher of his books, as well as publishing over 2,000 other titles about nature, gardening, cooking. He is the man behind the videos of the interviews and talks given by Sydney Banks that we now see on Sid's YouTube channel and the 3PGC website. Shane actually studied psychology and the Three Principles under Roger Mills, but he chose to contribute to sharing this understanding by helping Sid and others communicate to the growing community through books, CDs and videos. Shane has also filmed many documentaries for broadcast television that focus on environmental and indigenous concerns throughout North America, the Andes, the Amazon, the High Arctic, the South Pacific, Papua New Guinea, Borneo and many other areas. He is an extraordinary man, and both during the recorded conversation and after, I caught glimpses of how utterly amazing his life has been. I'm going to turn it over to this conversation now, and I really hope you can get something from this. Welcome to today's episode of the Beautiful Feeling podcast, and I'm delighted to welcome you, Shane Kennedy. Hello.
Hello there. Lovely to be here with you. Thank you for the invitation.
You're very welcome. We've just been talking about the fact that I did have to work quite hard to track you down, but I'm sure it's going to be worth it. I'm already looking forward to this.
Me too, very much.
Yeah. So I always begin in the same place, which is right there with a beautiful feeling, to dive in and ask what this means to you, and what this touches in you, and what you understand by it, however you want to kind of access that, open that, and explore that.
Oh, beautiful feeling. A beautiful feeling feels like gratitude and love. I feel like I'm walking through a world of love, and I'm grateful for my wife, my dog, the world of nature that I live in, for being here with you today. Like, it isn't something I want to go find. I just love it when it comes. And I know that you've been exploring this with other people, and I completely know that you're in this feeling. And that's why you're exploring it. It's interesting that from the very beginning, when I first met Sid, more than anything else, I thought, okay, it's not the information. It's this feeling that he's in. I'd never met such a loving person as Sid Banks. And everywhere we went together, when we traveled together, he just exuded that without even really speaking about the three principles. He'd meet up with people, and the most ordinary people on the street or out in front of our hotel. And the next thing you know, they'd be crying because they'd be in this feeling with him. And that's what really has impressed me. If I can stay in that feeling, it's from that feeling that all the insights come. That the information doesn't come from the outside in. I don't have to search for something out there to find this feeling. If I just wait and rest inside of it, everything I need to do, all the answers come from that feeling. That love is the answer. And that's what we've heard from all these wise men, wise women throughout time. I just want to stay in that place. And that's what I've mentioned to you, that I have some businesses, and I'm probably the worst businessman in the world. All I do is I wait for that feeling, and then I know the answer. Or I watch my staff that I work with, and I wait for their feeling and trust them when they're in the highest level of their feeling. Because we all change moment by moment. We're all like yo-yos up and down. And I know that if I'm in that groove of that feeling, I can trust it. That is going to give me the solution and the answer and the guidance that comes wells up inside of me. I mean, when Sid found this, he saw that how we operate is through these three principles. But when we walk together, we just be walking through nature, walking through the world. In this magical world, often in silence, enjoying it all or laughing away. And then a little something would happen and he would start speaking about the wisdom that was coming out of him. But it wasn't like he was trying to get me to understand or figure out intellectually what the three principles were. It was that if I let myself just stay inside that world, I'd get it. I'd get what the world was, what I was in this world, who is this true being inside of all of us, this spiritual being resting inside of a human body, walking through a spiritual world, seeing the world react and come to us. And my guide for that isn't trying to discover an intellectual understanding of three principles. My guide is the feeling, this beautiful feeling of gratitude or love or joy or just the one that wells up and makes you want to cry about how beautiful the world is. Yeah, that's a beautiful feeling to me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. I've been re-immersing myself in listening to some of the recordings of Sid over the last week. I just felt like, oh, I haven't gone back to the source of this understanding for a while. And I, you know, I've always felt when I listen to him that I get a lovely feeling, but I've sometimes felt like the words kind of wash over me, and so I just go back and plug in and get the lovely feeling, you know. But this time more of the words stuck. But what I realized he was saying, like most of the time, was don't listen to my words, you know. That's what his words were saying: don't listen to my words. And as you say, as you beautifully put, it's not about information. It's he's constantly directing us to listen inside. And you know, when I first came across you, Shane, it was on the 3PGC program, where they were going through each of the books that Sid Banks has written, and you and Mark Howard were doing Quest of the Pearl and exploring that together. And what really came across as you were speaking was the way that, because you've had such an intimate personal knowledge of Sid over so many years, you you talked about the fact that you would just be in a beautiful feeling with him, you know, that he was just in that feeling so much of the time, and that's what you would just hang out in. And that sharpened up something for me around who and what Sid is and who and what Sid is pointing us towards. That just this palpable peacefulness, gratitude, love, that we actually have got permission to be in that, you know. And in my work, I often feel like that's what I'm reminding people of, that you actually can hang out there. It's okay. You're allowed to. And there's almost a sense of reminding someone they have permission to experience the beautiful in life, both inside themselves and around them. And that, you know, sometimes the head has got so used to going and looking at the negatives and sorting out the problems that it becomes the norm for them. And they just need a little reminding that there's something much softer and much deeper and much quieter inside. And we can rest there. Like a bird coming back to its nest, we can actually rest there.
Oh, that's lovely. I get that feeling just listening to you. And I loved how you described listening to Sid and often not understanding, because truly we don't really understand, not in an intellectual way at all. We're listening to it, and a soul deep inside that soul, Sid or you, is speaking to deep inside my soul. And if we flow into that feeling, we get that feeling, we might have insights in a momentary, and we might think, oh, that I understand it because I'm getting an insight. But an insight is inside seeing it. Something's welling up inside you and you're getting it. It's not the word that you think you understood. It's the understanding that surfaces when you're inside that feeling. That feeling that makes you feel like it is a magical world that we're living in. And when I listen to you speak, or when I hear you speak, if I think, the moment I start thinking I truly understand it, I know I'm out of it, that I'm not getting it. So I'm grateful for that, that guide. And in fact, it's been that way for me, that trusting that guidance of that feeling. That I think you might have heard a little story when I first, I was a very happy child. I was very lucky that just have the most wonderful world. I laughing all the time. And then I grew up in a family where my family's indigenous. My grandmother, my father, I learned things about the world, and I was very curious about what was out there in the world through that indigenous land, that Native American land, some people call it. So when I was 17, I took off and went to Brazil for a year and a half. Went deep inside the Amazon and stayed with the Caiapó and lived with peoples and tried to explore a world where they were living in that land. And I came out of that world, and I just had this sense that it was a mystical, magical world. And someone contacted me and said, I met this guy that you might really be interested in. He sounds like something you're fascinated about. And so these words, and I was so shocked by them. I thought, what if this person, this guy, Sidney Banks, actually knew what he was talking about? If this wasn't just someone spouting a bunch of information that they had read somewhere. So I got on the plane the next day and flew out to the island. I didn't even know where Salt Spring really was. And I went to the wrong place and then went up the island and got on this tiny little ferry crossing from Crofton over to Vesuvius. And I'm what am I doing? What's following this? This seems really strange, this journey. Because I wasn't looking for a guru or a teacher or anything. I just wanted to live my life, but I couldn't let it rest. So I thought it started talking to this woman at the front of the ferry and saying how crazy this was. And she said, that's really crazy because that guy you're talking about is my husband.
What are the chances?
Popped me in the car and, you know, went back to there and I met Sid. right away and completely flummoxed about everything. I thought I knew something, or I didn't know anything. And I, for the longest time after that, I really realized I didn't know anything. And he was talking about being in the feeling of love. He talked about the three principles, but it was like, this is how we operate. We operate with mind, consciousness, and thought. And you can't really do it. You already are the mind, the true divine mind. It's in you. And your consciousness, your way you see the world, this spiritual consciousness that is a gift given to you, it's already there. What do you do with it? And we hear about thought, and you were saying earlier that we intellectualize sometimes what the thinking is. We get caught up in trying to control it. I don't want to control thinking. It's just waves coming in and out of your mind. The only thing I want to do is live in this beautiful feeling and then wait for it to come in and out of my mind and try not to hold on to it too long and just see where that guides me. Where does that feeling take me today in this moment, moment by moment? Just enjoy what's coming into you. Enjoy the love, because you get to live in that. You're the first person that gets it, and then everyone else around you gets to feel that too. And it might be in silence, it might be in speaking, it might be in just laughter. It is the guide. Well, I stayed on the island for a long time. I kept thinking, okay, well, I'm off to another adventure, and I planned a journey, you know, and I. But I couldn't go away, and I kept thinking, I'm going to stay and figure this out. And I didn't figure it out. And then finally one day I called my dad and I said, Dad, I found my home. I'm inside. I love this. I love this feeling. And I never want to leave. I'm going to stay in this. And I went for a walk down on the beach. And I went back and called my dad and said, Dad, I've got this feeling that it can never leave me. I've got this. I'm going to leave the island and explore the world and go back and do all. This was like after years of being on the island. And I went off and left the island and left it. But you couldn't leave this understanding. There was no place to go that you could go to find it. And even there was no place to go to stay on the island to find it. It wasn't a place. It was a space. And you're always going to walk in that. If you know that it's your source. Yeah.
That's now, good.
I've lost it sometimes, but I always just remember that and go back to it.
Yeah. No, that's lovely. That really touches me. I think for me, it's a deep personal reassurance to know that my feelings are my guide. You know, that the beautiful feeling is my guide, that sense of resonance and peace and aliveness, and the way that one path feels more scintillating than the path that feels a bit heavy and dark, and just that we have that sense of that in the moment, we can pick our way, and that feels extraordinary, you know. And it also feels extraordinary to me because I see so many people who've forgotten that or don't know that or haven't yet seen that, and there's that struggle to get by with what the mind and the thinking is telling you, you know, which often comes from our upbringing and our culture and all manner of hidden invisible kind of imprinting onto us how we should think, what we should do. The feeling hasn't got that. It's so deeply personal and inclusive. It includes all of us, and it includes our situation. It will always include our context. It will always see us through that. And, you know, I guess I'm finding for me that I can reorientate back to that. And it's not a doing, it's a resting, a surrendering, a Oh, yeah, I actually don't have to work this out, do I? I just have to feel what feels right. See where my good sense is taking me and relinquish my need to control. And the spaciousness of that and the relief of that is in itself beautiful. And in that experience of that spaciousness, I'm already moving back home.
You know, I love what you just said. You mentioned that you live in this just wonderful area in the Lake District in a hamlet, and I think people would say, well, you could live in that happy world because of where you live. and you know, Shane, you can live in this happy, look at your life, it's just a magical life. But we've seen, and I've gone into prisons and into really rough areas of the world. I've traveled to places where there were wars going on and people were dying around me, in my honesty, and really difficult situations. And I don't go out there to try to use the three principles in any way. But I know that if I stay in my feeling, I'm more benefit to the world. I guess that is really the way I walk through the valley of shadow of death. I should feel no evil. Yeah. If you know that you're safe, you can't. If you don't know you're safe, if you don't feel safe, then definitely get out of the valley of shadow of death. Leave. But if you have to trust that there is a place, a space that you can go into that protects you. And I've seen that so many times where the world around me was going insane, and I temporarily was going insane too, because I just thought, my God, people are dying. And then I literally one time remembered being on a beach in the midst of absolute chaos, and I remembered the feeling that I had, that I said, I never want to forget this feeling of being on the Vesuvius beach on Salt Spring Island. And the moment I thought that, that came back to me. I don't mean to have it, there shouldn't be a technique or a trick, it just happened at this moment. And I got this feeling, and I walked out down this path where absolute chaos. People were in the midst of a tribal war. And sure enough, the world around me completely changed. I wasn't caught in it. And it offered a place where people could, I don't know how it happened. It just did. People walked up and laid down their spears and said, it's over. You don't have to do anything. And I spoke to them. And strange, I don't usually tell these stories because they're so exceptional, but I've seen it happen so often that if you change inside, the world outside changes. Even though we live in this place, you can walk into these places and know that it's going to change the world around you.
Yeah.
And it's not like you have to seek out proof all the time. It's just that you know at least that you're safe. You're not going to be subject to all the chaos of the world around you. When I left the island, my first adventure leaving there was I decided to go and join this sailing voyage in a square rig sailing ship, 156-foot brigantine, following the route of Sir Francis Drake, 400 years to the day after he had sailed around the world. And we sailed out of Portsmouth and all these amazing adventures, living in the upper canopy of the rainforest, laying out rope bridges between the trees and studying the different rainforests in different parts of the world and doing marine biological studies and coral reefs and just magical, wonderful world. And I would be on the wheel of the ship and steering it. And sometimes we were in rough seas. And this is the metaphor that I could, and you just know that you're going to steer okay. As you're going back and forth and just weaving through these high seas, you have got a compass. You know which way to go. You know, you're safe. And that's the feeling. That feeling is my compass. It's not the weather vane of life that just blows with the winds of fortune. I mean, the winds of fortune are around you. We're going to go through things in life. Yeah. But if you're feeling it's your compass to guide you there. Later, I was involved in the Southwest Pacific and some people that had built an ancient sailing canoe, a crab claw sailing sail out of it, woven out of pandanus reeds in a double-hulled canoe. And we sailed for 3 months on the seas, and we navigated by stars. And even though the seas were wild, the stars are always there. In the Northern Hemisphere, we have the North Star. We know home. And if we stay home, if we know where that feeling is, even if you lose your way for a while, you just trust that you're going to get back in that feeling. That's the part, is that it's okay to be a yo-yo and go up and down. It's okay to get lost sometimes. It happens. It happens to all of us. That's just the human condition of it all, that we're riding up and down states of consciousness. But if you do lose it for a while, so what? It's no big deal. It's just a moment by moment thing, and it could come. It will come back because you know you've got a home. The home is this feeling of love.
Yes. Oh, those are some powerful metaphors coming from powerful stories in there. You know, I'm so struck by your experience on the beach. That's such a big and startling example of how the peace in our hearts is a field of energy that will go out and touch and trigger that field in others. And I see that over and over in my life, you know, and again, I find a real comfort in that when things feel difficult, I know that the only thing I need to do to reset that apparent difficulty is to come back to some sense of grace in my heart, inside, to just hand myself back over to that, and the outside will change. But I will see my path through it. I'll see what to do next. And that turning within to inner sight and letting that, I guess, making a space for it to come through. You know, I think that feels so powerful. And when I'm sitting with clients and someone comes with something, you know, really traumatic, big, deep, difficult. And I think back to how I used to work with people when I was younger, and when I was, before I knew anything about the three principles, and I would do what it seemed I was supposed to do, which was to talk to them about what was wrong and try and help them sort it out. And that could take us a great many sessions, and I would come out of them exhausted, you know, and feeling like we weren't really getting anywhere. And now when someone comes in that kind of feeling, that kind of place within themselves, I now know that all I need to do is, as you did, just stay in the beautiful feeling myself, and that it will do the work, it will radiate out. And somehow it's as if it just moves out and starts to untangle all the little knots that are wrapped around that person and tying them up and constricting them and stopping them from seeing more deeply. And they start to just gently, gently fall away. And something comes back into the person's eyes. And it's so gentle and it's so quiet, that process, but it's so profound. And I marvel at that there isn't all that doing to be done. That it appears that there's so much to be done in the face of something big and terrible, but it's not there. It's not that direction that we need to look in. And as you say, the true north is to turn ourselves back over to love and see what comes through.
Yeah. I don't often quote much of Sid, but he said that, you know, getting the feeling of gratitude cleans your soul. That And he was a human being, and he was from his soul speaking to not the person, not you, not me. I mean, he and I were best friends. He was like my father. In fact, his last words were that to me. Yeah. But very, very close. But he was speaking to your soul and my soul. And when you go into that feeling and your soul is cleaned up, your consciousness gets cleaned, what's left is the feeling of gratitude and love. What cleans it is that feeling. It's simultaneous. You're in that state of consciousness. And you don't have to try to get there. You are it. You're already it. There's nothing to do. There's nothing to learn. There's no information. We don't have to talk about feelings. We want to talk from the feeling. And if you are in that feeling and you share that and people catch that, their wisdom, it might come in the form of words, because words are just metaphors for something. We can't really grasp the true depth of any of this. If we were, I mean, I'd love to have that. You know, then I'd have the experience that Sid had. We're about this week to launch a new video this coming week.
Yeah.
I've said, and it was the clearest I've ever heard him speak when we recorded long ago. And we had released many videos about his wisdom, his understanding, what this understanding imparted. And this is something of a story of him, what happened to him, his experience, but it's so clear. And why I find it so fascinating is, one, he's just in that magical feeling when he says it, and excited and calm and silent and joyful. But it's got a lot of humor to it as well. And what I get is that when I'm listening to it, I don't get very much at all. But one thing that just occurred to me over and over again, that it came to a very ordinary man, just a very everyday person who had an experience. He didn't learn it in a book. I mean, he'd only read 10 books, and they were mostly about welding. He's a welder in a pulp mill. but it came just somehow. He said, I was the most undeserving person, but it came to him. Well, that makes me believe that if that came out from an insight from inside, that it's in everybody. It's always there, no matter how difficult, how damaged or traumatic or the situation, it's in there, it's inside. Trust it. And when you get it, don't question it. Just stay and be grateful for it. Stay in the feeling as long as you want. And if you lose it, it's okay. It'll come back. It is you. It is who we are inside of us. You know, as I mentioned, my family is indigenous, among other things. We call it settler people as well. And we speak about, or my grandmother did, we have this thing called All My Relations, which is the circle of everything that encompasses all of life. And in that, you've heard people speak of that the nature of spirits, of animals, the spirit eagle, or the spirit wolf, or the spirit tree, or river, or rock, that they're as though there were animism or manifestation. Well, what they're really speaking of, and what I heard from my elders and from a person that knew Sid and loved speaking with Sid, one of my dear, dear friends who's passed away now, Albert Lightning, who lived in the Musquechese Reserve nearby. And he and Sid, and I got to witness this, and just remind me that all these spirits of nature are just one spirit, the great spirit, manifest through all things. The spiritual nature of all things coming through forms. So the more we go to explore that, the more we get to see the great spirit in form. And I'm going to turn this around and interview you now, because I know you're deeply committed to nature. And I love being in nature. I mean, I think I've written 34 books about nature, and you know, best-selling books, and I feel like I don't know anything. I go out and I hang out with birds again, and I get to learn about, you know, that God is manifest in this way. Someone once said to me, God is in detail. And I don't know what they probably said. I probably thought I should fill in my form properly or whatever they were talking about. I don't know. Or that I should clean my room. I don't know what it was. But what I heard was that God, true, the Great Spirit is in everything. That this flower is the Great Spirit. And I only realized it to a very shallow level, I'm sure. But that's what I get from nature, is that, wow, this is the most abundant world of trees shooting up through the earth towards the sky, and all nature just exploding with the spiritual life in manifest in its expression, the way you do, look at you, and the way I do, the way my friends, my family, we all manifest it through who we are meant to be. Our true nature is a spiritual nature in form. So let me ask you, what does this feeling mean when you are out there with nature? What do you witness? How do you feel?
What a lovely question. Well, it reminds me of yesterday morning. I was out early. The morning was too bright and spring-filled and glorious to stay inside. And so I just went out, and I was out for a good couple of hours just meandering around with the dogs. And my dog's getting quite old, so we just meander when we're together. And it's lovely because it means I get to notice things. So I noticed that the oaks were just unfurling and the silver birch were just unfurling, and that there were some flowers out that hadn't been out 2-3 days before, and the particular bird song and the smell of a particular blossom, you know. And I mean, this is such a beautiful time of year, and it's so easy to love this time of year. And just feeling what a richness there is there, like how everything about nature is speaking to us, you know. It's all so beautifully there and real and unfolding in its own lovely way without any thoughts about it, just beautifully revealing itself. And I often think of, there's a poet that I love, Gerard Manley Hopkins, and he talks about how nature speaks itself. You know, it just speaks itself. The bluebell speaks itself, the kestrel speaks itself. And they do that so perfectly. They don't try to be, the bluebell doesn't try to be a dandelion. And I think one of the things I always get when I'm in nature is just that remembrance that everything has its rightful place. Every piece of it is needed, is part of the infinite beautiful weave of it all. And, you know, you were saying before about this is, yes, we've got the lovely lives that we have, you and I, and we're very privileged in the way that we get to live our lives at this time. And there are others who are not so fortunate. And, you know, what I'm reminded of is just that everything has its place. Every unique, beautiful soul is indeed a unique, beautiful soul, and they have a contribution to make. And that the challenges that they're facing, they can and they will. They'll find their path through, and that we can just settle into that bigger version of ourselves, and let something else move and place us and teach us how to navigate from our truth and our kindness and our authenticity. And whatever the context or the circumstances, we've always got that. And as I was walking along yesterday, I was thinking back to 2-3 weeks ago when I was doing the same walk, and it was torrential rain. It was like, and the same place looked bleak and wintry and inhospitable. And I was soaked through, but I was just enjoying that torrent. You know, I was just enjoying the power of it and the way that it was speaking itself. And loving the diversity and the energy and the challenge of being out there in it. And I guess that infinite variety of nature, you know, and the way it moves through, a plant moves through its seasons, its burgeoning and then it's blossoming and then it's dying back. And for many years, for 20 years, I worked with plant spirit medicine. So I consider plants my biggest teachers for that period of my life. And in particular, I was working with flowers and flower remedies. And so I would often be sitting at the feet of the flowers and gleaning teachings from them and listening into a different realm, as it were, and training myself to receive the impressions through my imagination and through my feelings that would come as I sat with them. And over and over and over again, whatever the plant, wherever the habitat, whether I was up a wild, wild mountain in the middle of nowhere in Scotland that had taken us like a day to get to, or whether I was here on my back door, you know, just looking at the flowers in the hedgerow, they were all saying the same thing, which is your essence. The essence of each of us is beautiful. Trust it. Rest in it. Flower, blossom, bloom. That's what you're here to do. And that feels as true now as it ever was. That we hold ourselves back and hamper ourselves from blooming and blossoming, but that's what we're here to do. And we have that encoded in our being to know how to do that. But we need to listen. We need to listen in and make space for that and make peace for that to happen, to emerge, to show itself to us.
Wow. That is so beautiful. I was so touched by everything you said. I you know, in preparation for this, I seen some of your paintings of birds and mammals, and then I find out your depth, because I love plants too. I think I might have mentioned that I spent a large part with my grandmother learning from her about ethnobotany and the indigenous use of plants. And you know, my job as a little kid was to hang out at the back door, and my grandmother would go and collect wild herbs and then bring it back and make a sauerkraut with some cabbage and with all these wild plants. And that's what kept people, the elders have told me, that's what kept them alive during the Depression. Wow. Was her probiotic, yeah. You know, they called it the medicine, but she would also make this broth out of bison bones or moose bones or bones, and she had a giant pot in the back behind her house on remote First Nation community. And my job was to keep that fire not too hot, but just hot enough to stew these bones in this water. And of course, the smell would radiate out, and you know, the foxes would come and a bear would come. And my job was to sit behind that house and keep it there. And when the bear came, I had a pile of rocks by the door, and I would throw them at the bear to chase it away. And then it would come and claw at the door. I learned a lot about fear. When a bear comes, run away. Don't try and face what you can't handle. But otherwise, most of our fears are just, you know, fabricated and imagination, mostly. But if it's happening and you really feel it's a good response to get that feeling and run away, but mostly it's just our imagination creating it. But when you speak about plants and your joy of it, I mean, that was for many years, you know, when I go and live with Indigenous peoples all over the world, and even here in Canada, we, in the States, we're probably the biggest publisher of ethnobotany books. And with my friends, we explore this and write together about these, you know, the humorous stories about plants and get to know the character of it. And actually spending all this time getting out and identifying plants and really getting to know the unique nature of each plant. Well, that does teach us something. It doesn't mean you have to figure out anything about plants. I'm not telling people to go look there. I'm just saying, when I see the unique nature of every plant, it reminds me that what you were saying is that there's a unique nature to every person. They don't have to be like me or you or what they think of as an ideal. Be ordinary for you. Be absolutely authentic to your true nature is a spiritual nature, but how it manifests, just be comfortable in what you like and what you are. And it might change over time. But if you don't attempt to try and be somebody else who you think is ideal, you just relax in that. Do you ever learn a lot from just the expression of nature, the expression of people? We're all something unique. We're all wonderful. And that's our superpower. The free will of being able to sit inside this world and choose where to go. And for me, where do I choose? What feels the best? What has the most beautiful feeling? Oh, I like that feeling. I'm going to go in that direction. Yeah. That's the pathway down which I want to travel into it through time, into life, expressing whatever it's going to be tomorrow. It might have been something else yesterday. I'll follow that path towards, I don't know what. You know, my first conversation with Stan, as I was testing him to see if he knew what he was talking about. And I told him something about, like, I had this magical life already. And I said, you know, about dreams coming true. Like, you can make your dreams come true. He said, basically, he shook me and said, you know, I hope you find what you're looking for. Because what you're looking for is truly precious. Yes, dreams can't come true. They're always coming true. This is a dream world, a divine dream suspended between the boundaries of time, space, and matter that you're walking through all the time. Every moment, it's a dream. Mm-hmm. You are the dreamer. Now, I don't mean to put too much on, like, he speaks for himself, but this is what I've discovered. That if I follow this beautiful feeling, I'm walking through a magical dream world. Not a terrifying nightmare. A magical world. That's what I want. Follow that feeling. Yeah. And the world responds in kind.
Yes. Yes, and it really does. It miraculously and consistently does. That continues to blow my mind.
It gives you hope, doesn't it? Doesn't it give people
it really
hope
does.
To know that whatever they think their predicament of life, that they don't have to figure anything. You don't have to figure out. You already are the three principles. You don't have to try and figure them out. Just go into the feeling of love. Like when it happens to you, just be grateful for it and stay there as long as you can. Enjoy it as much as you can. And then everything, that's your path. I'm sorry, I think I interrupted you.
No. Thank you for interrupting. It was a lovely, a lovely reminder. I was just thinking as well, coming back to the plants, you know, one of the things that sort of struck me a few years ago was when you think of like a hothouse flower, you know, that's grown from a tiny seed and it's absolutely nurtured and cosseted all the way through to the point where it becomes this perfect specimen and it's given the environment that will best suit it so that it can become that, so that it can then be put in someone's home or somewhere where it isn't in the perfect environment anymore. But it's made to look so perfect and given everything, but as a result it's not equipped to deal with the change when the change comes. And so often plants like that, unless someone really knows how to continue to cosset them, they don't survive. And you know, I was thinking how different that is from a wildflower. And there's a particular area of Scotland called the Cairngorm Mountains, which are big, wild, huge land masses. And you can walk a good day or so and still be, you know, in the middle of nowhere. And they're ferocious and magnificent and gentle and beautiful all at once. And on the very tops of them, there's these tiny, beautiful Arctic plants, all sorts of plants and birds that will live up there that can't survive anywhere else. And they live in this wild, wild environment. And they're strong, vibrant, sturdy little plants, you know. And sometimes here in the spring, you know, we'll get a flurry of storms come through at some point when everything is just tender and emerging and the bluebells are just coming out. There's all these delicate blossoms on the tree. This big storm comes through. But those bluebells withstand that, and those trees withstand that, because they know how to meet those challenges. It's written into them. It's written into their essence that they withstand those challenges in a way that that very protected hothouse flower can't do. And I think we sometimes forget our innate responsiveness and resilience, and how the wild times and the wild weather and the wild storms that we sometimes have to go through do, without in any way being cliche, they do actually strengthen us. They do actually teach us so much. We have to go somewhere inside ourselves that we haven't had to go before to be able to withstand and meet that. And even there, that there's gifts in there that come with that. There's gifts at the center of that. And, you know, with all the time I've spent with plants, it's always been the ones in the wildest places that I've been drawn to, the ones that can withstand the seemingly most inclement weather and terrain. And I've found their ways of coping with that. And I remember once being on the west coast of Scotland on one of the islands, and there's a tiny little marine plant called a thrift, which has these lovely little bobbing pink heads and a kind of mossy cushion for its base. And there's colonies of them all on the rocks right at the very edge of the sea, and the waves come in and they crash over them however many times a day. And they are utterly stable there, and they do not move. And when you look, sometimes you can see the roots of them exposed, and they have these big, strong dragon red roots that can actually go down into the cracks and break their way through the rock and establish themselves there, where you wouldn't think any living thing could establish itself. And that gives me hope as well, that extraordinariness of spirit and form together, what wonders are created and what miracles are happening all around all the time, within us and outside us. There's no knowing what's possible.
Beautiful story. Lovely. I've traveled up on those islands. I love it worse than the other Caracons. And loved those journeys. And isn't nature lovely and tenacious and strong? I think it's such a beautiful teacher of, we'll be okay. You can handle it. You've got inside you everything you need to handle anything. You can handle it. You are the spirit. It's a spiritual being, this plant, this everything. You are a conscious spiritual being, and we can handle so much, that much more than we might have imagined. And I don't mean we have to seek out difficulties, but you know, when you hit the waves of misfortune for some reason, going inside, finding that, you know, don't trust it. Trust that it's there. You know, trust that feeling, that hope, that sanity, that resiliency lives in you. And haven't we seen that in so many people that it's true. I live in a really magical world. I feel espousing too much like this. But I've seen it with people that have suffered so much, that have found their home, they've found their inside again. And from there, they've been able to find a way out of their dilemma. know, it's a, that's the guide. Everything else is a metaphor. The feeling of love, the feeling of gratitude, of peace, of silence, all of this just is your guide, my guide, to tell me I'm in it now. I can trust what I'm thinking. I can trust the path I'm on. And if I'm not, I'm not in that feeling, I don't trust it. Because I know I'm not thinking from a very clear state of mind. My soul isn't clean. I'm thinking from a bunch of thoughts from a lower state of mind that aren't guiding me to where I need to, where I want to stay. So yeah. If I lose it, I mean, I go into meetings with my staff or other people, and if I'm for some reason worried about something, I just say, well, everybody, I'm not feeling very good today, so I'm not very wise. I'll let you run the meeting. I'll let you tell me what to do, because I don't want to take us in the wrong direction. You know? Yeah.
But is that in itself love? That's a loving response in itself, isn't it? That kind of almost resets the moment. It's that acknowledgement that today I'm off somehow. I'm not, you know, I'm not as clear as I would like to be. But the not just trying to push on through anyway, but actually saying, I need to hand this over to someone else today, is that's love right there, isn't it? That's wisdom right there, saying, I can recognize that I'm vulnerable today. And I think that there's something about, again, the moment we turn back into that, it resets us. It brings us back into some feeling of alignment and feeling of being more at one with ourselves. And we just acknowledge what it is and how we are and go from there. Sorry, I jumped in on you, but
I love that you did. You made sense out of what I was just talking, and suddenly you make sense out of all this. It reminds me of, it's okay. You don't have to try to stay in a beautiful place. It's okay to go up and down. Everybody, that's the condition of the world. We're all yo-yos riding through time, through states of consciousness. And if you're not there for a moment, don't overanalyze it. Don't try and figure out it. Just happen. And also, don't try and figure it out when you're in love and ecstatically happy. You're just there. It's the way you are. It's the way we all are. And navigating it isn't trying to steer yourself. It's just understanding that's what we do. You don't have to figure out the three principles. You don't have to figure out a beautiful feeling. Just be grateful for it when it happens. And if it's not, relax, come back. You're going to find your way back home, because you are it. You've already got inside you all the understanding, all the wisdom, the source of the understanding you need. And when you get that feeling, it comes to you as an insight. It wells up from inside you, and you see something. And the information that you get from the insight can be wonderful, but it's not the only thing in life. It's riding into the next feeling or the next insight. Yeah. At one moment to moment, like staying in that and just watching it come true, like, wow, it's a magical world to get to ride through.
Which nature shows us with all the changing seasons, and the storms that come through nature are just like the storms that come through us, aren't they? It is natural. It's part of being in the world of form. Mm-hmm. You know, I will often say to someone, you know, you don't have to, as you've just said, you don't have to find this perfect, beautiful feeling and be in that all the time. That would not be possible, and that would just be stressful. But just to know that when you're feeling down or you're feeling vulnerable, you can listen for that, which is that bit softer and that bit kinder inside. And just lean into that, even just a little bit, even just 5%, you know, just lean into that a little bit and see what that says, and just let yourself be looked after as you go through this. Mm-hmm. And that almost like there's a remembering there then of what love does feel like inside, a reacquainting ourselves with that, so that we're not always just being shouted at by our mind when we're in a thought storm, but we can just rest a little bit or in that that's softer and kinder and gives us the benefit of the doubt. And let ourselves just rest there whilst the storm's going through.
Yeah, the storm rages around us. It gives us hope. Yeah. And I don't mean hope like I hope this happens, but just hope that, oh, it's I'm going to make it. I glimpsed something and I can go back there. I had that feeling when I was a kid. I had that feeling when I was sitting on the back area with Sid one day and he said something and it just changed my life forever. And I know that feeling. That feeling is what I want to stay in. In fact, that feeling, I realized then that I wanted to live in that feeling. And then I told him, I was looking at he and Barb, and they were laughing together, and they would joke together. He and his wife, who's now passed, first wife. And I realized that's what I want. I wanted to share that thing. And I've been so lucky to be able to go into that love with somebody else, with my wife, Jennifer, who's the most magical being. I get to walk through life with someone that gets it, that shares it, that feels enchanted by the world, that lives in a magical feeling with me. I am the luckiest guy in the world. I don't mean to explain it all because I don't know it. I'm just lucky. I didn't know I'd find that. And I found someone to share this feeling with forever. It's not about love of one person. I mean, I love Jennifer, but when you get to share it with someone, wherever, I think someone said, wherever two or more of you are gathered, I'll be there. We walk into places and everyone just treats us like angels because they can see between us this amazing feeling, this love shared. And they're very tender with us too. People, I mean, we go to a restaurant and people will come and tell us they've never seen anyone so much in love, but they don't want to interrupt us asking us too much or thinking too much. And the wonderful thing about Jennifer is I met her on Salt Spring Island when she was 2 days old. I was just a young kid when I went to the island. And her parents, who were some of the first few people to meet Sid in his new reality after his experience. And they had this lovely little baby. And I went to hold her in my arms. And I've loved her my whole life. And then she turned out, she grew up to be the most beautiful girl. And she loved me for some reason.
Oh.
And we get to live in this place. Like, just, there's no wonder it, you know, I get to engage in the world, but we kind of just so enchanted with staying in our world, like living in our heaven world, we call it. You know, let's just go back there no matter what's happening. Let's stay in this feeling. And then we know we're safe. We're safe in heaven, in this heaven world.
Yeah. What a beautiful love story.
Yeah.
And a beautiful happy ever after.
So we're all so lucky.
Yeah.
And we're lucky that we got to wake up again.
Yeah.
But even just a little bit can do such wonders in your life. It can change an ordinary world filled with confusion and occasional hell into a, you know, a heaven with occasional confusion. Because it happens, you know, we all go through a bit of that, but I just trust. I know it. I know it's okay. I know that I don't know anything. I don't have any information to share. And yes, I went to university and I studied under Roger and later my graduate studies in psychology and the three principles. And then, you know, decided to not become this wonderful thing that you are and that so many of our friends around the world are sharing and helping people. I decided that I just really wanted to stay in this feeling and live my life in a way that could that could touch others and help Sid by publishing his books and making videos with him and with different things I care about, like nature. But so we don't all have to be teachers, and we definitely don't have to teach any information. Going into the feeling, going into your love, your gratitude, is really the best thing. And from that, you give the example to everybody else of what life could look like in this moment. If Sid once said to me, if you could see it in someone else, it's yours. That miracle is yours. When we went in the early days of the island, and for years and years after, there were miracles happening. He said, if you could see that miracle happens inside you. If someone could see that feeling in you, that can awaken them because it brings out their soul so that they are the miracle too.
Yes. It's so beautiful, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, thinking back to how the three principles has changed my life and the place that I live in, which is extraordinary. I've lived here for, I think it's about 24, 25 years now, and same house. But certainly for the first 10 or maybe even 15 years, I wasn't happy. So same ingredients, same stuff, but I wasn't happy. I could see I should be living somewhere like this with a wonderful husband and working with the flowers and doing things that I loved, but I was unwell and I was unhappy inside myself. And then when I first started to properly study or learn about, well, I was on a training with my good friend, Ian Watson, and the lovely Carol Burrows, both of whom have been on this series. And within the first weekend, I just felt this stillness. And again, just not really of what it was they'd said or what, you know, we were encouraged to not take any notes, but just to be there and listen, explore, reflect. And it was a wonderful, wonderful group. And there's people in that group I'm still in touch with now. I'm so glad to be. And I just felt very still, very peaceful for the, I'd had glimpses of it, so I can't say it was quite for the first time, but it was for the first time it was so enduring. And my life just seemed to shift on its axis at that point. And there was something about, as you've said, the fact that you knew you could live here, you could live in this. And so I come back into my life after each of those weekends, same ingredients that always been, but I was peaceful. It's just peaceful and seeing the beauty in everything. And then just again, for me, that sense that I could listen to that and follow the beautiful feeling and notice when things were more alive for me and to go in that direction. And so over the last few months, I've given myself permission to become an artist and to see less clients and to do more art. And that both of those things give me enormous joy, but I needed both. And for a long time, my art had been on the sidelines, and now it isn't. And each one feeds the other. Each one feeds me. And I'm just following where the trail leads me and just doing this, these things that I love and seeing what happens and not putting any pressure around it and watching how strangely and beautifully and organically and just at the right pace, it just all keeps unfolding and revealing the next step. And then there's moments where I'll get in the way of it and go back into old ways of thinking and think I need to stick my oar in and do something here or there. And then that doesn't work out very well. it doesn't work as well as following a lovely feeling. And so I come back to that and reset to that. And each time I've learned a little bit more for going away from it. And it feels that bit more secure and familiar when I come back. And it makes life feel charmed. And it didn't feel like that before. And that always strikes me, you know, that I had a good life before that I wasn't enjoying. And now I have a very good life that I'm really enjoying. And feel very blessed by.
I was truly amazed by your art, the life force that sings through it. That just reminds me of a little plant story. You know, one of my co-authors is an ethnobotanist called Wade Davis, of course, my real teacher was my kokum, my grandmother, about plants. But in a way, I've learned, we've traveled in other places and explored plants. And there's a particular group of people, indigenous people, that have three different plants, which to us look exactly the same, and chemically the same. We think they are, we identify them as the same. But to them, they're different because when the moon is out, they sing differently.
Oh.
Now, isn't it beautiful that there's cultures that see the world in a different way?
Yeah.
I know you're exploring something. You must be in such a beautiful space. When you're doing that art, and it lets you spend time in silence.
Yeah.
It's where it's pouring out of you, and not in a complicated silence, just in a joyful one where we sometimes listen to so much and turn the radio on or the distraction of life. And being, I'm not recommending that anyone try too hard to be silent. It's not something, but it's okay. That was the lovely thing with being with Sid or being with my wife. We just said, often we'd just be walking in nature, not even speaking, just loving that. I remember when I first would go and visit Sid in his living room. It was a magical place, truly. The fire would be going in the winter or even in the evening, and he had a grandfather clock, and it would go slower and slower. It felt the world would move slower. You'd walk into that living room and it felt like you were walking into a thicker air that just felt different. It felt like a different direction. You weren't just looking east and west. You were looking some other place, some other way.
Mm-hmm.
And a new world, like that exists, that kind of different world, different, truly different world. Not just, I'm happy, but it's a magical world. We're living in a world where it's all spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
It's all there. And we have a guide and a beautiful feeling to take us back to that place where you get to be in awe and wonder and overwhelmed by the beauty of the world. And you get to paint and sit in that world and seeing it come out of you in that way. How beautiful. Thank you for your lovely art. Really touched by it.
Thank you. I was very touched by yours as well, by the life and vitality and energy in it. It was lovely to catch a glimpse of that. Thank you for sharing it.
Well, that was my child's paint set that I pulled out and started fiddling with a little, trying to. She's speaking of a series of books we're doing now called Spirit Buffalo and Spirit Eagle. And I think I sent you one just to share the idea of this. And we're exploring the nature through an indigenous lens of these different animals and how these teachings of animals remind us of characters, that why the legends and stories of our elders taught us or teach us about different characters and strengths inside of us that remind us of, like, almost like Aesop's fables, but they remind us of our inner spiritual natures manifest in these forms, but they also remind us of our personalities and the joys and weirdness of our idiosyncrasies. But yes, I've never painted until just recently. I joined in just because I wanted to get into that feeling of seeing, you know, what can come out of me, rather than just letting it come out in the form of books that I write, but letting it come out in other ways. And you know, it used to be photography and filmmaking. I just made so many films for, you know, documentaries around the world and National Geographic, other forms. But I love this new exploration of quiet and silence.
Yeah, I think that's it for me as well. It's that sense of being utterly absorbed in something. You know, it feels like, my thinking mind will often come in during a painting, because there's always a point in a painting where it looks an absolute mess and it's just not going right. And I rarely do a painting where I don't think, oh, I need to give this one up. I need to go move on. But if I do just go away for a bit and come back, I'll see what to do next. I suddenly know what needs to happen next. And I'm learning to trust that, you know, because it's a bit like life, really. There can be really messy bits where it doesn't think it's going to turn out well. But that sense of just being giving yourself over and, you know, connecting to, well, for me, it's an animal or a bird that I love to paint, and connecting to their essence and then seeing how much of that can come through and be conveyed onto the page, you know, just letting something living arrive on that blank sheet of paper. That feels, it feels holy doing that, you know. And so it always feels like a very nurturing, regenerative thing for me to hand myself over to, and very peaceful, very, yeah, very good for my soul.
I got to glimpse this in my wife, Ruth. An extraordinary artist. She can paint photorealistic art, and yet she mixes it in a way that's beyond photorealism. It's a unique story being told in the art, and truly she's doing many pieces as part of a graphic novel she's doing. So I'm in awe of her. So I felt very challenged by beginning the art, but I could see the space she would go into. So I went to explore it, and I would doodle until I got more or less the shape of the animal just right, the bird or the wolf or bear. And I get it kind of right. And then I have this technique I call messing it up. And from that point, I go into this little kid's space and I start doodling, just putting little bits in, messing it up. And then I feel free to imagine myself into making it messy, just playing with life. And I guess that it is a metaphor. I hadn't quite realized that, but it's okay to, you know, ride the ups and downs of your art or your creation or whatever it is you're involved in, and realizing your dream. It's okay to make mistakes in my filmmaking or my whatever. Just keep going, come back to it when I'm really happy and I see the clarity. And even if that means I write 20 pages and I keep one paragraph, that's okay. That paragraph is worth it. Yeah. You know, if I'm 95% an idiot and 5% a genius, that 5% is worth it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll go with that. You know?
Yeah. And meanwhile, we get to be in this co-creative process. You know, it's not just us creating, is it? It's a co-creation with something that's coming to us and has its own life form. You know, it's going to become its own thing in the world, and we get to birth that. And yeah, there's something about that that's letting that life through and not being so critical that we strangle it and stop it coming through, that we kind of clench too tightly around it because we want it to be perfect I love getting messy in a painting when I don't know what to do next. That's usually what I then start doing, like you. I'll just start to do something that really frees me up and lets me be much looser with it. And then painting goes in a direction I could not have taken it in myself. You know, it just goes somewhere else entirely. Some happy mistake happens and I'm off on another journey with it. You know, that's, again, that's a metaphor for life. It's like we don't have to strangle the life out of it, do we? We don't have to control it all and make it look perfect, despite what social media seems to suggest. We can actually just enjoy the happy accident.
Yeah. I speak a few languages, not very well, but I have collaborated with Indigenous peoples on books, and one that was quite lovely with the Panan of northern Borneo. And they are a hunter-gathering tribe, one of the last few remaining in any rainforest in the world. And they're truly nomadic. They have no agriculture. They move from place to place, living in a little lean-to that they create in an hour by weaving leaves together and living in a little stilt, or sometimes large stilted hut, that, and then move on in the forest in a few days or a week or beyond. And there is a phrase where you're, I'm not sure if this is exactly right, but living in the stream of God's desire, or riding the stream, or swimming in the stream of God's desire. So you're flowing with it, you're flowing down this world. It's coming through you and you're seeing it come onto the canvas. That's what I'm doing. And you look at guides, a guide, the three principles are something to know, because if you realize it, it's lovely, it's how you operate, but the guide is that feeling of love. You know you're there.
Yeah.
And it's okay. If I do a painting that doesn't look so good, that's okay. but what a beautiful way of getting silent and going into that. Finding it that the feeling of love is the answer. It replaces all other roles. And I once heard said that whether you like it or not, that, you know, there's the Ten Commandments, but it's not that you should do this or you must, that you would do this. If you were living in the feeling of love, you would. This would be axiomatic. You wouldn't do it. It would be come from that feeling.
Yeah.
That you really don't have to figure it out. You just have to stay in that feeling, and we'll know how to navigate our lives.
Yeah. Well, that seems like a beautiful place to come to a conclusion for our conversation. I feel like we've been on a lovely journey here through many lands and many insights. Thank you so much, Shane, for your companionship on this journey and for your wonderful presence.
Thank you, Rachel. It's been lovely to get to know you. And thank you for being persistent and actually finding me.
I'm glad I did.
I hide from the world, and, you know, even though I've been involved in this since almost the very beginning, and stayed so deeply involved, I haven't really wanted to be out in the world as much, just enjoying this lovely journey that I get to travel on with my wife, and for a long time being such a close friend of Sid. Lovely to share some of those stories with you, and lovely to hear what you have to say about the beautiful feeling of nature and art. Thank you so much.
I'm so glad you peeped your head out of your burrow for this hour or so. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye for now then.
Bye-bye for now. Thank you for listening to today's episode. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. If you would like to leave a review or some feedback, that would be wonderful and will help us to spread the word. To find out more about today's speaker, please look in the show notes. And if you want to know more about the work that I'm doing or connect with me further, then you'll find me at rachelsingleton.com. Thank you again and have a lovely day.